But we're all different. So I kind of went more internal and just, and it kind of came out in the music. And I just put in like 8-9 hours, like just after school, just like always practicing. Almost, you know, it was ridiculous. But that's how it came out, you know, that frustration, that missing.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
Well, today I want to welcome on the Passion Behind the Art Show, Braxton Cook. This dude is a beast on the jazz and saxophone. I heard his music on Instagram, so I was like, let's have him on the show.
Appreciate it.
All right, so Braxton, let's kick it off. The first question is, when did this love for music start? What age? What was the story behind it?
Well, I break that up into two questions. So music, that was kind of, I always loved music. Grew up in a musical household. Dad sings a little bit. Mom was like, played classical piano, like kind of through high school, did a bunch of pageants and stuff. So she had all of us playing piano in the 90s. Like we all were learning, you know, how to read music and playing four leaves. And, you know, some gravitated towards it, towards music more than others. I got three brothers. And we all are like low-key just kind of into music. I have a little brother actually who he works with Solange. So he's a little bit more in, he's not just like kind of into music. It's what he does, you know? Yeah, he's like the guitarist in MD. So yeah, like all of us are kind of musically inclined because of our parents and the music and like the household we grew up in. We grew up on soul music, like literally on my wall. Like, oh, I don't know if you can see that. It's just like all these Earth, Wind & Fire records and Marvin Gaye, got some Miles Davis. You know, it's like,
nice.
We grew up on like, you know, soul, like Motown.
Gotcha.
And, you know, in Motown, there are a lot of like killing horns, you know? There's like some fire horn players playing on a lot of those tracks. And I kind of gravitated towards that, you know, in my adolescence. I was just like, I would remember these solos. You know, I'd hear Camille's Candy or like hear Michael Brecker's solo. Or I hear this fire saxophone solo on like Earth, Wind & Fire, After the Love is Gone. And like stuff like that would just stick with me. Or Forget Me Not. So whatever it was in R&B, nice. You know, I would, for some reason, I'm like 6 years old. I could just sing these solos or I just want to hear it again, you know. And I think my parents noticed that kind of stuff. So I got, yeah, always into music to answer your question. And then for saxophone, it came like around like, yeah, 6, 7, I think. My dad was, my mom got my dad a saxophone for a birthday gift. You know, this may be 96, 97. And I was just downstairs checking him out while he was practicing and learning the saxophone. He let me try it. And I just had a natural kind of sound and tone. He was like, oh, okay. And, you know, all my other brothers kind of tried it and moved on. Like I said, everyone tried it. And but for some reason, it just kind of stuck with me. And he noticed that. And I think around, you know, 4th, 5th grade, we come to pick an instrument. Like saxophone was like, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to try this one.
Nice, nice.
Already
nice.
Had an inkling for how it went, you know.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, though. Like, you're another musician that I heard of. It's like it was kind of ingrained in the family. I'm like, I mean, I got some music in my family, but it seems like to me, that's dope when like you're grown up into it. Like you, it's like a mother teaching a daughter how to cook. It's like you guys are just like ingrained in you, and they're just being grown up in music. I like
that's exactly it. Yeah. Plus, like, which I sometimes forget to mention. It's just, you know, the black church,
right?
Like, it's funny. I talk about this all the time because people are like, wow, man, you're so multi-talented. And I was like, it's like you play, you know, I'm like, I'm finally working on doing other things outside of saxophone, right? Like production, piano, singing, doing other things, right? And it, to me, it was nothing that crazy because I'm like, literally everyone in my family is like that. They didn't necessarily have to study it. People in my church are like that. It's not even a big deal. It's like part of our culture, you know? Like, I know a lot of black artists and musicians are just like, oh, yeah, it's like, oh, you low-key sing? It's, you know what I mean? Because it's just part of our experience. We just learn how to do all these different things. You know what I mean? And, yeah, it's just funny to me because I'm like, yeah, in the church, like, you learn so much. You learn how to play a little bit. Yeah, you got to step up and just like, oh, I got to play some keys right now. Oh, I got to play some saxophone right now. Like, oh, can somebody hold down a drum beat? You know? Like, that's kind of how it is. So everyone can just low-key kind of do a little bit of everything. And, And then on that you build like expertise on something that really stuck with you. But yeah, that's a lot of it too, Mike. We grew up in a black Baptist church. When I grew up in like PG County, Maryland, in DC, right outside of DC. And yeah, we went to a church in I think it's called Union Temple in Southeast DC, and it was just like it was super soulful, super black. And the music, you know, there's so much in gospel music. There's just so much talent and so much ability that, you know, it really pushes you. Like, that art form alone is so much soul. But yeah, so much virtuosity with the vocalists and instrumentalists and arrangements. Gospel's really got a lot in it. And there's a lot of jazz in it, too. So
it's crazy you said that, because, like everybody, for the most part, knows me as a designer. Like, I design.
Yeah.
But I do sing because of church. And I've been singing for years, but I don't even talk about it, really. I want to be known as a designer. I never really got into being known as a singer or anything like that. But it's funny you said that, because it's true. It's just like I remember back in the days, me and my boys in New York, we used to just kind of got together and just jammed, just have a jam session.
Exactly. That's why, like, I'd be getting nervous. I'd be like, when I got to perform in front of, like, all black crowds, I'd be like, oh, shoot.
Because they know.
It's higher. Really. It's crazy.
They know.
And, like, they know. And they'd be like, I'm like, oh, snap, I got to sing in front of them. I'm like, everybody in here probably low-key can sing and killing. You know what I mean?
That's facts.
I just know the bar is on another level when I got to perform for us. But, this is funny.
So when you got into music, you're kind of developing your tone and your feel. Like, when people hear Braxton's music, what do you want them to feel? What do you want them to experience?
For me, like, I think what I kind of want to just it's how music affected me is how I want to affect other people, right? So the two, like, main artists or sounds kind of that affected me were like in jazz would be like John Coltrane. So John Coltrane has this very deep spiritual kind of, I mean, you hear that a lot, it's almost cliche, but it's true. You know, like, John Coltrane, really, his music was very deep, super deep. And you know, it affected me, I think, because of his background in church and in gospel. It came out in his, you know, his version of jazz, you know, with his classic trio with Elvin Jones, Jimmy Garrison, and McCoy Tyner, you know, like, that music particularly, when he found his sound with his group, like, that really affected me a lot.
Nice.
So Love Supreme is like the typical album everyone discusses, but really all of that, you know, I hear I Want to Talk About You, and that song just breaks me down. It's got all of that feeling of the church, all the virtuosity, and just this selfless kind of love in his sound. I can't explain it, you know. It just sounds like sacrificial, like, you know, like,
nice. Yeah, like, I feel you.
I get that feeling. So I want to try and give that off. You know, I want to give this genuine selfless vibe through my music. Like, you know, this isn't about me. This is about, you know, the music, the people around me, and trying to make people feel better, you know, make people feel, you know,
yeah, and I feel that, man.
There's that. I think naturally my disposition is generally pretty joyful. So I also, you know, like, just a pretty happy dude. So, like, there's also this side of me that was attracted to artists that had that kind of buoyancy in their music and that kind of just, like, flow. So, like, Cannonball Adderley is another artist like that where I just, like, gravitated towards it. Yeah, like I said, funk and soul. I always want that part of the music to be in there. So people like Grover Washington, who wrote Just the Two of Us, or wrote
Right,
Mr.
Right, right.
But that part, that influenced me a lot, and that comes out. So I want people to have a good time. But then there's also this kind of somber side of my personality, the more introverted side, that I don't share maybe as much, but I think comes out in a lot of the time in my ballads and in my music, you know, into the slow songs that I'm attracted to. Songs like Somewhere in Between. Like, one of my favorite jazz ballads is Stardust. I like a lot of melancholy kind of music.
That's what's up.
That makes me feel like it just makes me miss or long something. And I haven't quite unpacked that to the degree to understand why it is I feel so emotionally connected to that type of music.
Right.
You know, I'm not necessarily always a turnout kind of dude. I can sit there and listen to, like, some sad, like, not necessarily like crying sad, but just like, you know, like that, songs that have that feeling, I guess. I don't know. Prototype is one of those fire songs to me from Outkast. Emily King makes a lot of that kind of dreamy sounding, nostalgic music. Yeah, I've always liked that alternative R&B sound.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Solange. It's very, like, synth based, very kind of floaty and cloud sounding, but, like, soulful R&B stuff. But it's not necessarily always hard driven funky, you know, it's kind of got a slow, that I've always been attracted to that that feeling and that sound. I like to try and recreate that too, and I mix all of that together.
I think the description you gave, like when you started saying that, I started thinking dreamy, like that dreamy sound. That description when you said dreamy, I think like that's what I started thinking when you started, because I know some of the songs, not all of them, but some of them you named, that's the feeling it gives you. It gives you that like you're in this laid back deep place.
Yeah. Something about the space, man. Like John Coltrane gets there too, and it's like something about that space. I love it. It makes me like reflect. It makes me think about, like it makes me get real introspective, and I like that aspect of music. I like music that does that.
Cool.
It's not necessarily like makes you, you know what I'm saying? It makes you kind of go inwards and assess. I like music like that. I want my music to be kind of be like that. So it ain't necessarily going to be turn up music, but it's going to be like make you think about yourself. Hopefully, inspire you to do something, and inspire change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. I feel you on that. So, who would you say Braxton surrounds himself around? Like that support group that you say those are my people when I need to draw energy. They give me support. They're always pushing me to go higher. Who would you say that group is?
Damn, that's so funny you say that, bro. You asked me that. I was just thinking about how, not to throw shade, but I was just thinking about how, like, a lot of my peers out of my school are not those people. It's crazy. People I left school with out of Juilliard, I'm like, wow. Yeah, I was really thinking about that because we have this group where we all kind of, like, still talk to each other and, like, support one another sometimes. But it's, like, it's not really like that. My friends, I think, are actually – it's, like, maybe a couple of them. You know, people that don't just talk to me on social media, but text me, call me.
Right.
It's, like, maybe one or two people from Juilliard. Then it's, like, my friends from Butcher Brown, you know, Corey Fonville. We talk all the time. Actually, some of my friends – I went to Georgetown University before. Actually, some of them, like, real supportive, you know.
Gotcha.
Like, friends, like, yo, call me on my birthday. What's up?
That's what's up.
That type stuff, you know.
That's what's up.
Family's always just been hella close, hella important to me. I've moved a lot. I've moved like 5-6 times, and music and my family kind of been that constant through all of those transitions from Maryland to different counties to Atlanta, back to, you know, New York and all this, you know. So I would say, yeah, family, a couple good friends from college, and then like my girlfriend of 5 years and her group. You know, she's very, very much connected. She went to Columbia University, now at Princeton, and she's just very, very, very much connected to just like a, I don't know, this level of just like super smart, black, excellent millennials.
That's,
you know,
what's up.
Literally,
what's
she up. Has like a GroupMe feed of like 800, you know, great 800 like black folk, or she just always is like, you know, throwing events and that's been really cool. She's connected me with just like, not necessarily just musicians, but just, you know, like other 20-year-olds that are just really smart, really doing their own thing, super passionate, and all just came out of like really great HBCUs all over the country and really great, like, you know, Ivies, and just like really doing their thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's been really nice. Yeah, through my girlfriend, I met a lot of really just cool people my age. Sometimes it's good to get outside your field.
Yeah, and that's good to have that because, you know, we kind of in this bubble sometimes that we don't really experience other people, other cultures, just we just kind of stuck in that little spot that we grew up in.
And it's cool because we both appreciate each other. You know, sometimes like musicians don't support each other because we're too busy doing our own thing.
Right.
And they like want to get into your show for free or like, you know, whatever, you know, all of that. But sometimes when you have friends that aren't musicians, they're like really like, yo, I'm so tired of working like a 9-to-5. I'm like, I want to come see some music, come hang out, come like hang back, you know, it's special to them, and vice versa, you know. It's like, I'm like, bro, that's so fascinating. Like, what are you reading right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, put me onto some new literature or something I need to check out.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good to have that kind of people, right? You need that, man.
It's really nice. So that's just been a blessing, man. My girlfriend has been a blessing. It's changed my whole life.
That's what's up right there. That's what's up.
I'd be just practicing all day, which is cool, but, you know.
That's what's up.
For me, it's different things. Yeah.
So what would you say is the biggest struggle that you had to overcome, like, through this journey?
Mm-hmm. Man, it's just, they keep coming, bro. They keep coming. I was saying, yeah, I thought about that question when you sent it to me. I was like, I think it's a couple. Sorry to only give you one. I think it was a couple. For me, it was the first one was the choice to follow this path in music.
Right.
Like I said, I was at Georgetown majoring in English, I wasn't even 100% convinced I was going to do this, like right out of high school. Because I kind of got into this a little later than most of my friends. Like I said, I was in music early, but got into jazz like 15, 16. Just a little later than like some of my friends that were private studying it, like 9, 10.
Gotcha.
So, you know, 2 years in a jazz, I'm 18. I got to really figure out like am I going to go into this? Is this going to work out? And at that time, like, I didn't get like the scholarship money I was hoping.
Right.
I got into some good schools, Manhattan School of Music and New School, but my parents were like, yeah, $50,000 allowance for music, Brex, I don't know if that's the move. And I'm glad they said that, truthfully. But at the time, I wasn't hearing that. You know, right. I'm like, no, that's what I want to do. And but Georgetown University was free. And that was, you know, it was a very practical choice. Turned out to be a good, really good decision and gave me the time that I needed to really, like, mature.
Gotcha.
But it was very hard. When you're 18, you're the tunnel vision, bro. Like, you know, it's very hard to convince, you know, you think you're grown. You're like, nah,
you got to figure it out.
Your parents are like, yo, let me tell you about this thing called debt. You don't want the, you know what I'm saying? You're not hearing that, man. So you just think about your passion. So it's very, that was at the time, very, 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 yeah, difficult. And I had a lot of resentment, and I was just being salty, and I skipped orientation at Georgetown, like all that, you know. I went through that weird phase.
Gotcha.
And so that was tough. And then like making that decision to go to then leave and go to Juilliard, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it was a big leap of faith for sure. So that was tough. And now I would say the other hardest thing I had to really figure out, it's all music related, by the way, nothing like crazy traumatic. I had a blessed life, bro. You know what I mean? I had a blessed life. I'm just being honest. I would say, yeah, it was just that move from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That move from Atlanta, I think, I was talking to my brother about this. I really feel like that's the thing that like emotionally really broke me down.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something about having all of my first kind of experiences in that time at like 14, you know, in eighth grade, 13, whatever. First girlfriend, first kiss, first this, first, you know, whatever. Like, oh, there was alcohol. Oh, this is, you know, like your first, you know, you're a teenager and like really experiencing everything.
Right.
And kind of high on that. And I told you something about that era in Atlanta. I can't even explain it. Something about 04. I don't know what it was, but it was a vibe.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? All the good music. I was really feeling like I was coming into my own.
Gotcha.
You know, I was doing musical theater. I was singing. I was playing. I was, you know, in love with like, what was it? It was like my favorite artists at the time were like probably Outkast, Usher, and John Mayer. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right,
all,
right.
Like I was really starting to find my sound and my influences and everything. And then like suddenly we just had to move and, you know, leave your girlfriend, all this stuff. And that really, I don't know, for some reason, something about that emotional, like whatever hormones were going on, it just really affected me. And I got really, really, really quiet and introspective as soon as I got to Maryland and went to high school. And saxophone kind of just like was that escape for me.
Gotcha.
You know, I remember just like not really talking, not hanging. I never went to prom, never went to homecoming. Kind of all I did was practice, but and affected my brothers too. Like they kind of lashed out in different ways.
Yeah, I feel you.
But we're all different, so I kind of went more internal and it kind of came out in the music. And I just put in like 8-9 hours like after school, just like always practicing. Almost, you know, it was ridiculous, but that's how it came out. You know, that frustration, that missing, you know, and not understanding why we had to move. You know what I'm saying? So as
right,
a kid, yeah,
right,
that
right.
I think. Something about that emotionally kind of came out in the music, kind of helped me become like what it is. You know, like people ask, like, why do I still do this? And I think it's probably still connected to that little nugget, whatever happened.
That's
so that
crazy.
Was like emotionally the hardest thing for me. But yeah, I'm blessed that it, you know, it happened.
Because really, like that was kind of like your training ground too. Because if you're there playing 8-9 hours a day,
bro,
like,
yeah,
you're putting in work.
I mean, I think that's how I caught up to all my peers. Between like, you know, like I said, between like 14, I got my private teacher 15. Yeah, between 15 and like 17. Yeah. 2 years I just like put in, I don't know how many hours. Stupid.
So something bad end up working out for your good. That's what's up. That's
yeah.
That's what's up. So what's next? What's next for Braxton? What's around the corner? What is going on?
Yeah, so a few things, bro. I have like a couple EPs that I've been working on throughout the year. Like while I was rolling out this album, my first album, Somewhere in Between, which I'm like super proud of and love, and it's, you know, it's been years in the making. Kind of how I made Somewhere in Between was like a compilation of two EPs that I did before.
Gotcha.
Which is Braxton Cook meets Butcher Brown, and then Sketch, 2014, 2015, and kind of like put them together, reworked the songs, and tried to come up with a cohesive kind of sound. And then using my voice to kind of, as that glue, you know?
Gotcha.
And similarly, I think I'm working on the next project, and it always starts with like these EP ideas where I'm like trying to reconcile between, you know, different sounds, production sounds, you know? Like,
right, right.
I have one EP that's like that super dreamy kind of sound that I'm talking about. Another EP that's probably a little bit more funky and got more instrumental stuff. And then, you know, some stuff that's like more like a socially conscious kind of songs that I've been writing, just been coming out. Just, you know, from living in New York and just being in America.
Right.
I mean, like the stuff that's been on my mind. And kind of those three things. Not to say I don't want to say too much, but yeah, those are like the three kind of concepts that have been coming out, and the production sounds have been, styles have been kind of different. So I'm just like been working on that throughout the year, and eventually probably next year, you know, it'll either come out as one full project or I'll roll them out as separate things.
So you get your hands full right now, man.
Oh yeah, bro. Never stop. I mean, I noticed this, bro. Like I just left the studio with Logic, and Logic just dropped like one of the most, it was a fire album. Everybody. Right. I was like, yo, this is fire. And a month later, bro, we're in the studio. I'm like, bro, what are we working on? You got a single coming out? He's like, oh no, this is the next album. I was like, bro, you just, that's crazy. He was like, yeah, because I'm about to be on tour till the rest of the year, so I got to record it now. I'm like, that's incredible that you even have that many songs ready to go. And he's like, yeah, man, I never stop. And I was like, you know, that's what these cats be on.
It's awesome.
The same way, bro.
It's awesome being around those people. You kind of get perspective of the amount of work they put in. You know what I mean?
So much work.
And Logic, and it just kind of push you to kind of, you know, do more. Frank.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm like, damn, these dudes don't sleep. And they stay happy and positive and like, like it's crazy. Yeah, the amount of focus and hard work that goes into that greatness. Yeah, It's work for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's definitely inspiring, man. And I've seen it even with Christian, Christian, like he put out like three albums this year, and it's just like hella songs, bro. Like it's a lot of work. It's constantly working.
That's what's up.
And yeah, man, I think that's what you got to do, particularly in music now, because it's just like people's attention spans is like, you know, it's like this.
Right.
Literally, you got like 3 weeks to push your project before people just move on.
Right, and it's just that few that sticks. It's really that few that sticks.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta find that. Yeah.
So, what advice would you give musicians right now? What advice would Braxton be giving out for musicians, or any creative?
I think just keep exploring yourself, and be as honest as possible. Be as sincere as possible. I think people can read through all of that fake stuff. You know
Especially
what I'm saying?
Now,
like, yeah, it's real. Like, yeah, because like, yeah, you got social media, you got all this stuff that's kind of like trying to, you know, all these mirrors that are like trying to portray us. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And I feel like it's important to just be honest and sincere, because people will just they can see through it, bro. And I think just for your own, you know, peace of mind. Like,
right. I like that for your own peace of mind. Truly.
Yeah, it's just be who you are, bro.
That's what's up.
And keep discovering it. It does evolve. It changes. I'm a way different person. Way more calm and chill than I used to be. I'm an Aries, bro, and I used to be way more just stubborn and like, I'm gonna, you know, like whatever. Just I'm gonna do what I wanna do. Like I said, like and I don't know, I've evolved and it's been a cool evolution. I'm just paying attention to myself, always checking in and just like, you know, self assessing.
That's what's up.
Do I really like this? Do I really enjoy this? Is this helping me? Am I really moving forward? Is this like, you know what I mean? I'm always doing that, because I can say yes to every gig, but it's like, nah, like, you know, do I really want to do this?
That's facts
for me?
Right,
you gotta always be doing that, or have someone that can help you do that.
Right, right.
And that's all just being honest with yourself. It'll just make you happier.
That's what's up, man. I like that. Yeah. I like that, being honest with yourself. So you gonna play for us? All right, let's do it.
That's what's up, bro. Nice.
Well, man, I appreciate you, you know what I mean, doing this. How can people reach you? How can they hear about you? Where will people go?
Right. So, yeah, my website, BrysonCook.com, has got a lot of my information, a lot of the tour dates to come see us live and everything. You'll get tickets and stuff like that there. But I would say follow me on Instagram. That's, you know, I'm super accessible. Like, you hit me on Instagram, I was like always look at my DMs and write people back. So at Braxton_Cook, or Twitter and Facebook as well. But IG, just hit me there.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for doing this, man. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
And just likewise, bro.
Keep at it, man. Love what you're doing.
Bro, appreciate you. All right, man.
Blessings.
You can also stop by PassionBehindTheArt.com to listen to past episodes and to learn more about the project. Blessings.